Good to see everyone. Not many here, but we'll still have our Bible study. Before we do, let's go to God in prayer, please. Our dear God and Father, which art in heaven, we're thankful unto you for being able to come out this morning due to the weather. We pray you'll be with travelers and the shut-ins, comfort them, help us to teach the truth this morning and have fellowship, worship you in spirit and truth, and obey you in everything we try to do. Help us be pleasing to you, God. We make a lot of mistakes. Help us to do better and help us grow in number here in the church. Forgive us of our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. And thank Dave for teaching last week. I couldn't be here. So, I think he said he got down round 6, chapter 2, and we'll just start there at chapter 2 and start there. And I think we all had a pretty good view of 1. He probably went back and went over that, so we know that this book's about having the problem in the church about circumcision, and they's wanting to go by it and get for salvation. You had to be circumcised for salvation. And Paul's going about up to Jerusalem and take care of this matter. Let's look at chapter 2. However far we get, appreciate any help you can give me, and we'll go from there. Chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem. You remember he went up 3 years after his conversion, I believe it was. And now he went back up this 14 years later to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelations and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, at least by any means, I should run or have run in vain. Let's just go over these a little bit here. 14 years has passed, and he now going to Jerusalem to take care of this matter. If you go back to Acts chapter 15, if you look at that, I think this is what was going on. Acts 15. Daryl, would you mind reading Acts 15, first couple verses?
Sure. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so here we see Daryl read, they believe, except you be circumcised, that's the matter of Moses, that was in the old law, but this has nothing to do with salvation, does it? The new law. And Daryl read, it says there, except you be circumcised after the matter of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, verse 2 there, Paul, Dale read, he said, Paul and Barnabas has had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other disciples, that was Titus, I believe it says in this verse, one of them verses in what we're talking about today is Titus, went up to Jerusalem, verse 2 and 15, and to the apostles and elders about this question. Okay, let's look at Galatians 2 now.
Well, you know, Tom, real quick, you know, we might think about the fact that we look at it and say, okay, we got the Bible, we got the New Testament. Why didn't they just look at that? Well, it hadn't been put out in a written form, and in this case, as Paul, you know, he probably could have. Being an apostle, made some decision on his own, but he, no doubt, guided by the Holy Spirit, knew that the best thing to do was go back down to the apostles and the elders and say, okay, let's look at this. Let's put all of our heads together and let the Spirit lead us in the way it needs to go. And of course, came back, as you mentioned, that for an Old Testament law, circumcision was done away with.
Chapter 2, then 14 years has passed now, and he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus. There it is. That other one said in Acts 15, 1 or 2 there, took others with him, and I believe this is who it was, took Titus with me also. He said, I went up a revelation and communicated, that's talk and with them and to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or run in vain. He went up there to talk to the other apostles and elders about this problem. Now, what's he mean there in verse 2? He went up by revelation, okay? Yeah, he's sent by who?
Christ.
Okay. Revelation, he was sent. Also, he went up by the instruction of the Lord. The Lord instructed him to do this, didn't he? He was sent. Okay? When he said privately to them, which verse 2, which were a reputation, at least by a man, he didn't want his this travel to be in vain or useless. He wanted to make it count, didn't he? He wanted to really put a solve to this problem.
And that where it says, but privately to both those of reputation, that would have been what we read earlier there. It was the apostles and the elders.
Yes.
They sit down and they discussed it.
Yes. And that's what should be done in the church. Should be done. Elders should discuss things and forward take a look at things. We need to look and be careful about things and talk it over and make sure it's done right. Okay, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, remember Titus was Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. He wasn't forced to be. But in verse 4, because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. False brethren. These brethren then that was members of the church, sounds like it, doesn't it? But was they really converted, or was they just going through the motions and were maybe become brethren and just went along with anything?
It kind of reminds you of the Pharisees dealing with Jesus. The Pharisees followed Jesus trying to find something that he would do wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what these people were trying to do to Paul.
Yeah.
And when you look at that verse, it looks like a plan. And this is the New King James reads it, and this occurred, talking about the trying to force him to be circumcised, because of false brethren secretly brought in. So someone, whomever it might have been, and Paul never goes into, I don't, at least not to this particular point, telling who it was there and may have been converted, but they still held to those Old Testament beliefs. And that person then says, I've got to get more pure people in here that believe what I believe. And they tried to bring them in to cause problems.
Yep. He's brought in unaware, it says. Kind of a sneaky way, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah. Thank you. The purpose of this was to spy out against the liberty that all Christians have in Christ. What's James say about the law of liberty? Perfect. So why would we want to go back to the old law? Done away with, hung to the cross when Christ died. We can't go back and live under that law. Although there's verses in there we can go along with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. We see that in old law. The liberty that all Christians have in Christ, that's our freedom. But we just can't we don't have that freedom to believe anything we want, can we? In the new law, we're not under a bondage like the old law, but we still have to go by the new law according to what it says. We just don't have any a freedom to do anything we want, do we? We can't do that. We have to go by the doctrine, the New Testament teachings. Even Jewish Christians are not required to be circumcised in order to be saved. But these Judaizers intended to bring them into the bondage of the law of circumcision. You know, we look around today, we might not go talk much about this, but anything has to do with our worship to God, and people has different doctrines, that is not right, is it? If it's not according to the new law, we can't go along with those things. The Bible is our guide, God's Word.
Then it would have been a sin unto them, wouldn't it? Because the Bible says if you believe it, you know, you should keep it.
Well, it depends more whether it goes against the law, too. If a person wanted to be circumcised,
they had that right.
Children are circumcised every day now, but it's not necessarily for religious reasons, although there's maybe some cases where they are. But if a person thought, I ought to be circumcised, they can be circumcised, but yet it has nothing to do with salvation. They may think it does. That's the same thing as if a person wants to play, I'm going to say, probably say it wrong, piano. Did I say it right? I don't know which it is. That's Charles, he knows. But if a person wanted to say that, that they believe that they can have that worship, they may believe that, but that doesn't make it right. The same thing. If a person wanted to be circumcised, okay, but don't believe that that has anything to do with salvation, because it doesn't. Later, you do find where Paul had Timothy circumcised, not for salvation purposes, but so he could go into the synagogues and teach, because the Jews otherwise wouldn't let him in.
Right. Yeah, Paul said that he went along with some things, not doctrinal things, but he ate with them. He went to feasts and things and ate with them and everything like that. But far as preaching or teaching salvation, Paul didn't go long for all that. We'll see that here in a little bit. Any other comments? Verse 3 there, but either Titus was with me, who was with me, being a Greek, he wasn't compelled to be, he wasn't forced. Now, false brethren unawares brought in, we went over that, to spy out our freedom we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, try to bring us back to the old law. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no. Paul said no. I'm reading from King James Version. Not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul was one that would not give in to false teaching, and he was standing here for it, wasn't he? He said, no, we're not going to, not for an hour, or not. But he says in verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatever they were, leaders in the church or whatever, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. He's not a respecter of person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. In other words, Paul didn't care who they was, where it was Peter or apostles or who it was. And we're going to see that he talks to Peter face to face here later on. He don't care who it is. For not going by the truth, he's going to tell them. And that goes on in the church today. If there's false teaching going on or we see something's not right, we know the truth. That's why we study, isn't it? We got to speak up. Just like church here, it's small, but I believe it's sound.
I wonder why they use the word not even for an hour there. If you think about it, if you're really going to be sincere about listening, it takes a little while to listen to somebody who really knows what they're saying. I don't think he listened too long, but he didn't hear. It seemed like he heard enough that he knew it wasn't right. Boy, they didn't tell him anything he didn't already know.
Paul wasn't going to yield, was he, to the pressure or anything like that? That's why you just grab it right then and correct things. If there's false, something false you see in the church, get it right. Let's look at verse 6. Someone read verse 6 and 7, please.
But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw the gospel for the uncircumcised have been committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter.
Okay, thank you. What's he saying here? Verse 6.
Paul is saying the same thing we're studying in James right now. Paul is saying about respecting one person more than another, between the rich and poor, or in this case, maybe those who have influence and those who don't have much influence, and treat them all the same.
Right. No matter who you are, does it, or how important you are.
And the way it starts it off, it was almost like there were certain ones who were putting on airs because of who they were, whether it be prestige in the community, whether it be money, their wealth, their education. He said, those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, made no difference to me. It did not. Paul treated what we might say the lowliest the same way that he treated those who thought they were better.
Right.
I think Paul's telling that these people's uncircumcision is just as important to me as the people who were circumcised and to Peter. Yeah. There's no difference.
No. We got verses that tell that, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
No difference.
People.
The way he keeps talking about those with influence, those without influence, it makes you think, you know, in the first half here, I think sitting midway through a century or two, then you've got people that were teaching, you know, they gave each other big titles, they started changing their dress for the clergy, and all those things started happening. That was not what Christ wanted in his church.
No. Verse 7 there, Darrell read, contrary wise, he said, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul preached to Gentiles, didn't he? As the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. They still could keep the right, or their national right, to, if they wanted to be circumcised, but not as a way to be saved. There's a lot of difference there.
Now, under no law was it they had to be circumcised on the eighth day?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if you went past the eighth day, as the Gentiles wasn't circumcised for salvation back then because they wasn't included.
Well, the Gentiles weren't under the old law per se.
No.
They lived under the patriarchal law for their, I'll say salvation, for their way of living. They were under the patriarchal. And as far as the 8th day, that's what was commanded. Now, when you take time to look, even though that law was given on Mount Sinai, it wasn't kept and enforced until actually about the time that they get ready to cross the Jordan River under the direction, I believe, of Joshua, and he had everybody circumcised. So that would have been anybody, no matter what age they were, as far as the men were, whether it was a baby or whether it was somebody that was 60 years old, if he hadn't been circumcised, he was to be circumcised.
Yeah.
And in some cases, that was to show not only religiously, but also a distinction physically between Gentiles and Jews.
Yeah, physically.
Yes.
That's big right there. And the new law of circumcision is buried with Christ in baptism, isn't it? It's a spiritual
circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spiritual. Big difference. Okay. Thanks for your comments. Let's look at verse 8, please. For he that wrought affectionately in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Who's he then there? It says, for he. Is that Peter or Paul or who? Or one of the apostles? It's not, is it? That's God, isn't it? For God that wrought affectionately in Peter. There's a word in, I don't know what one of your versions says. What's yours say?
Effectively.
Okay. What's that mean? Effectively. If I pronounce it right. Isn't that right? When that can be considered right in Peter, it's not wrong. God don't make mistakes. He that wrought or worked effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. God worked with them. Can't be no mistake if God says it.
And there's Paul showing the difference in the law as far as the teachings, as he mentions, as it was with Peter, and Peter's purpose was for the Jews. Paul says, I'm for the Gentiles, making a distinction of the two, but yet how they work together through the Lord.
Right. And they used to preach the same thing wherever they went, and which Paul did, didn't he? Paul didn't go down there and preach one thing. Maybe not this subject, but you don't have to be baptized. That's Peter's idea. If you go to these other religious world, not running people down, but if the word don't say it, here we're just doing the opposite. It says baptism's for remission of sins. We have to be baptized to be saved, the Bible teaches. And that you have people. No, you don't have to be. What's the Bible teach? That's what we go by, isn't it? God's word. Not to be arrogant. We're not being arrogant, but we have to hold to what God's word if we want to go to heaven and be right for God.
We take Paul's letter in Ephesians 1:8. Here we say there's a gospel of the Gentiles, the gospel of the Jews. And that might have been some of his idea.
Right. Paul said, he preached the same gospel wherever he went. Paul said in, I think, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's going to be lost. And, of course, he wanted to preach. He loved the Lord, didn't he? Let's look at verse 9. And when James, that's one of the leaders there, half-brother of the Lord, I think. And when James, Cephas, who's Cephas?
Peter.
Peter, yes. And John, who seemed to be pillars. But we see here, you remember when Christ told Peter, upon this rock he'll build his church, he called him Cephas, which is a stone. Peter was supposed to be strong, and he was at times, but he made mistakes. He's doing it here again, isn't he? He denied the Lord. Now he's trying to persuade others. We'll see here. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, what's the word pillar mean?
I would think a pillar is something that holds something up.
Yeah, big
now,
building.
Notice they didn't say foundation. The foundation is Christ.
Yeah.
And everything is built on him. Though they could use that term pillar, you know, to say, you know, there. If you see a building or a porch, you look at the post, the pillars. Well, you see one that's fallen over. Well, you know that's fallen down because it's the others, though, are sturdy and strong, staying what they are. That's what these James, Cephas, and John. They were the strength of the church there in Jerusalem when Paul comes down and talks to them.
Yes. This is very important to have pillars in the church, where it's New Lex or Somerset, Shawnee, wherever. I'm sure there's pillars in each one. Everyone is not a pillar. Everyone is not real strong in the church, spiritually speaking. And that's sad. Everyone should try to be pillars and grow, shouldn't we? To be pillars, perceive the grace and was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, and we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They unto the Jews, and Paul to the Gentiles. And then verse 10 says, only they would that we should remember the poor. Good thing to remember the poor. And Paul says, this is the same which I was also forward to do.
Hey, Tom, let's back up there to verse 9. I think it's important that we look at this. James, Cephas, or Peter, and John didn't, at the time that they came in Acts 15, when Paul first made his journey back down, still were unsure about Paul. They weren't necessarily willing to accept him as a Christian because of what he had done. He had put some of their friends in prison, had some of their friends killed, such as Stephen, was stoned. And they probably had a question in their mind, is he honest? In other words, like when you go back up to verse 4, false brethren came in secretly in the Galatian church. Well, I wonder if they were seeing the same thing within their own mind. Is he trying to come in here and cause a problem? Now, they no doubt had heard what he had done, but your reputation still precedes you until you're going to get a new one built. And it wasn't until after they met with him, then they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. That is, you know, a way of saying you are accepted now as one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, even though the Lord probably was saying he's okay, in their own mind are saying, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Somebody says it changed. We got to believe them until we see different.
Yeah.
This is in Acts 13:46. Paul and Barnabas group boldly said, "It was never." This is New King James. Necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, since you rejected and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. That's a pretty bold statement. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us. That's the other thing. If we teach and teach a person, they won't accept it. Try to find someone else.
Yeah. Can't make people. You might have a man that preaches the truth from front to back and don't know it all, but knows the Bible and is sound in teaching. But how do you know what he lives like? Just like Daryl's saying about Paul, they didn't know for sure. You don't know what a man does outside the church, do you? Or never know. Let's look at a couple verses, then lesson will end there. As Daryl was saying about Paul, you know, not knowing really what he was, they didn't know for sure about this. He came, if you look at chapter 1 in Galatians, verse 20 there. Chapter 1, verse 20. I'm going to read a few verses there. This is in a different place. It says, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterward I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ." They didn't know him. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed." What's Paul do there? Or say, "They glorified God in me." So Paul was a changed man, and they heard about it at that time in that particular place. They glorified God. They didn't glorify Paul, did they, in verse 24? They glorified God, not Paul. Okay, I think we'll end up there, and we'll start, have a little review next week of chapter 2, and we'll start maybe verse 11 there, chapter 2. Thank you.